Again, it's nice to be back here. You know, I was here in the morning and that was a wonderful turnout. And really here again, this is my second preaching out of four for today. So really, you know, sa nakakapagod din. At least, di ba? It's great. So again, first and foremost, I am not Archie Lim, no? I did not suddenly gain weight and I got older. No, no, si Pastor Archie is somewhere where we don't know where he is, no? But really, I'm here. My goal is to be able to preach God's word to God's people. And it's really such an honor and a privilege and even a burden to be able to discuss these things because this is something that we'd like to do. All right, so in the first place, you know, they told me the Magueta is a wonderful place and I've been going back here, back and forth. This is probably my fourth or fifth trip to the Magueta and I'm really so privileged to be coming back here. And in my five trips, I am so excited to tell you that I've seen much of the Magueta. Okay, I've seen the airport and Lee Plaza and that's about it, no? That's probably the extent of what I have seen in the Magueta. No? Everybody talks about the great things to see. Last week, my pastor was here. His name is Pastor Dennis. He preached here in the morning and I think in one of the afternoon service. And looking at his pictures, he has visited many places. He went to the Dolphin Watch and everything. And I said, Pastor Dennis, it's your first time to be in the Magueta and you've seen all of these things. I'm going there for the fifth time and all I've seen is Lee Plaza. No? And yesterday, I made sure that, you know, going to Lee Plaza is actually a tradition for me. So I went there yesterday. Wala lang. Just to tell people that I am there, no? Okay, so the highlight of my Dumaguete trip, I've seen the airport and that's it. Okay, so, and I've been coming back here and forth and there's so many plans that I have, no, to see and do everything. But I will, you know, promise to my family that one day we will do this. My wife was here last year, I think I was here the same year, the same month, to preach on her service. And my wife was with me. My children hasn't been to Dumaguete. So I promised to bring them to Dumaguete soon so that they can go to Lee Plaza with me. Okay, so ibang level talaga, no? It's one of the best malls in the world, no? So again, well, anyway, my name is Randall. First and foremost, so I want to clear, no? I keep on saying this, I am not a pastor. Okay? I am not a pastor. I do preach in church services. I'm one of the leaders of the church, but I'm not a pastor. And I don't intend to be one. And people have always asked me, Randall, bakit ayaw mo magpastor? Why don't you want to be a pastor? Simple lang naman. Kasi gusto ko pa yumaman. Ano? So again, sorry. Sorry for the full-time ministry there. I didn't want to dampen your spirit. Anyway, so parang gano'n. Wala na gusto mag-apply. Anyway, so that's something that we have to understand. Now again, allow me to introduce my family. Okay, since you don't know me, and I pretty much come to Dumaguete once a year, and that's not enough, you know, to really get to know me. But I want to introduce to you my beautiful family, no? This is a picture of my family. This was a photo taken during our 25th wedding anniversary. And a lot of people are surprised. Wow, Randall, you've been married for 25 years. How can that be? You know, we got married when you were 11, ano? Joke lang, kayo naman, no? Okay, so that's my family. The lady in white is not my daughter, that's my wife, no? That's my wife, si Mia. She was here last year. She's been friends with Rian and Pastor Archie. So si Mia, we've been married for 25 years. She's really a great support for me and a wonderful wife, wonderful mother. She homeschooled our kids, you know, at least our boys. And, you know, she's into the ministry also. She leads women, you know, younger women. And again, from time to time, she gets to share the stage with me as we do marriage talks and stuff like that. So Mia, no? Then beside my wife, Mia, is my beautiful daughter. Her name's Billy. Billy's 25 years old. Billy works as a PR specialist for a multinational firm called Weber Shandwick. So she's, you know, she's on the corporate side. She's going up the ladder. She's learning a lot. And she's handling quite sensitive work for Weber Shandwick. And, you know, I'm happy to say that my daughter loves the Lord. And you can see her by her excellence for work. Now, beside my daughter, Billy, is my other daughter, Gabby. Gabby is 23 years old. Gabby's my a little bit brainy one. She graduated cum laude from a very, very small school named La Salle. So she's a cum laude, and she was teaching. And Gabby, after, you know, this year, she said, Daddy, I'm going to resign from teaching. I said, why? Because Gabby today is an incoming campus missionary for Victory. Okay, so incoming campus missionary. And she's going to be assigned in Victory Green Hills, where I come from. People have always asked me, Randall, why don't you go into full-time ministry? Why don't you be a pastor? Why don't you work for the church? Sabi ko, I'm not called to do that. Okay? I'm called to minister to people, but I don't have to be into full-time ministry. So what I did is I tithed my daughter. No? So si Gabby is my offering to the Lord. Lord, I cannot go into full-time ministry, but my daughter can. Okay. Okay na yan. Substitution, no? Okay, so si Gabby, and very, very active into the campus missionary scene. She's the head of the communications team of the youth, and of course, may campus siya. Really, she really works hard and everything. That's why there's always something happening in my house. My daughter will tell me, Dad, there are some friends coming in, some students that I'm reaching out to, discipling, and friends in church. They're coming to the house, they're going to have breakfast and lunch. Okay ka, no? Breakfast and lunch, haba naman. Okay, we'll prepare. How many are coming? 15. Mga ganyan, no? So, that's been our life, no? So, our house is like an open, no? That's my daughter. Now, my boys, there's a big gap between my girls and my boys, no? In fact, my youngest daughter is Gabby. She is 20. By the way, two of my daughters are single. And I want to keep it that way, no? At least for the meantime. So, they're single, no? Okay, single yan, you know? So, si Gabby and si Billy. Then, there's a big gap between Gabby and my eldest son, si Riggs. Beside me is Riggs, a tall guy. Si Riggs is even a little bit taller than me already, and because this was taken a few months back. And Riggs is only 14. So I might have a tall, tall guy, si Riggs. And Riggs is 14 years old. He's homeschooled. He loves the Lord. Actually, Riggs is already leading a victory group of young men. Okay? He brings younger men to one-to-one and all these things. And he is a volunteer of Kids Church, and he preaches in the Kids Church services. So that's Riggs, no? He loves kids, and he's very athletic. He likes Pokemon and things like that. So that's pretty much what PS4, okay? So si Riggs, no? And then my youngest son, okay, he's 11 years old, si Chino. Si Chino is 11 years old, also loves the Lord, and really, really a smart kid. And he also leads a group of younger kids. It's a victory group. It's so cute, no? You see them in a place in Green Hills. Tapos there's these two guys, si Riggs and somebody leading with him, and they lead younger kids. They talk about, you know, theology, hermeneutics, systematic theology, no? They talk about the rapture, mga ganyan, no? So galing-galing nila, no? They will discuss Leviticus, mga ganun talaga, no? Talagang the biblical truths, galing-galing, no? You know I'm joking, right? Okay, they only discuss apologetics. But again, okay, so si Riggs, si Chino, no? Cute nila, fun nila, and then he's our animal lover in the family. Yeah. He loves the animals. You know, in our house, we have so many animals. We have turtles, we have tortoise, we have fish, we have salamander. And dami niya pang gusto. He wants more. I said, Chino, we are not a zoo. Okay? If you want more animals, you'll have to sleep outside the house. And he's the one who kind of likes to go to Dumaguete because you want to bring him to the Apo Reef, you want to bring him to Baez, dolphin watching, and you want to bring him to Oslob, and I want to go to Lee Plaza. So again, so while they're having, I'm there in Lee Plaza, no? You know, I want to visit the fourth floor, no, so I can be in heaven. Okay, so heaven is found in Dumaguete, no? In a building called Lee Plaza. Okay, so anyway, kidding aside. So that's my family. I love my family. And we serve the Lord. The Bible says in Joshua, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And it's pretty much something we want to do that. So if you were a young family here, this is a good goal, no? And if you're single here, this is also something that you got to consider. I just want to find out, no? I know the afternoon is a very young crowd. Are there married people here? Who are the married people here? Happily married. Para may nagbaba, no? Okay. Minsan kasi married. Happily married. Of course, pag may married, may single. Who are the single people here? Oh, come on. Yon, single. Single people, I have great news for you guys. God loves you. Okay, so may pag-asa pa ang buhay. Anyway, so just kidding. Now, moving forward, a little bit of an introduction. And for those who have known me, have heard me, I'm a finance guy. I talk about finance. I talk about investing. I talk about, you know, a lot of these things. And to introduce the parable, allow me to do a little bit of an update on what's going on. At least in the economics, in the financial world. Okay ba yan? Okay ba yan? Kasi, di ba, that's what I do, no? Alam nga naman ang update ko sa inyo, showbiz, di naman bagay sa akin, no? Alright, so I'm going to talk to you a little bit. Now, you know, a lot of people are concerned about where their money grows, how to invest it, how to grow it. And one of those favorite investments are the stock market. The stock market is an indicator of what's happening to the economy. One of the indicators, no? Not the only indicator, but one of the indicators. And a lot of people are really interested into investing in the stock market. Now, here's the thing. What's happening to the stock market today? And this is what I want to show you. If you have been investing in the stock market, you probably aren't smiling today. Because in the last 3 months, this is how the stock market looks like. It's going down. In fact, had you invested money at the beginning of the year, you would have lost money by now. Okay, have you invested your money in the last 3 months, you would have experienced a reversal on your finances. In other words, you are not making money. Nalulugi ka. And that's what the stock market has been performing. Now, the stock market is an indication of what's happening. And a lot of people are using the stock market. The peso is becoming to be depreciating. And a lot of people are concerned. And here's the thing. A lot of people who are concerned with what's happening in the stock market are not actually investing in the stock market. Wala lang. Nakikisakay lang sa issue. Parami namin din ganyan, di ba? During the last American election, everybody was so concerned. The most people who are concerned are not Americans, but Filipinos, no? Okay, di ba? Everybody automatically became political scientists, experts, di ba? With the US presidential elections. And most of these people are Pinoy, you know? Okay, so concerned na concerned sila. Okay, so here's the thing. The funny thing is, everybody is so concerned what's happening in the stock market. But in reality, only 1% of Filipinos are actually investing in the stock market. A lot of people are concerned, but it is not this 1% who are concerned, but it is everybody else. And that's a sad state of where we are. Because investing, and not just the stock market, it can be property, it can be anything else. Right? It's not just that point. The point is, we need to actually prepare for the future, and investing is one way of doing it. And that's what I want to talk to you about this afternoon. So, yan ang problema. So, again, that's always the concern with the increasing economy, improving, you know, income and everything. And I've seen how Dumaguete has flourished in the last 3 years. I've been going here for the last 3 years. And there's been a substantial. Okay? Napansin niyo sa Dumaguete, alam niyo may progress. Traffic na sa inyo, traffic. You know why? Traffic is a taste of Manila. So at least, di ba, you will share our burden. Okay, so, and yesterday I was here, I saw that I've been coming here, wow, the traffic, you know, new restaurants, new building, and that's what's happening right now. This economy is moving, economy is there, people are having more money. But the sad part is, despite of what's happening to the Philippine economy, Filipinos are not actually yet performing well when it comes to saving and investing. Here's some study. Do you know that most Asian countries are now being more prepared towards things like retirement, except for Philippines? Only 8% of Filipinos have something for retirement, like investment in mutual funds, stocks, bonds, insurance, and all these things. Only in the rest of us, we don't do anything. That's why a lot of the Filipinos, when they get older, they are dependent on the children or dependent on somewhere because they have not prepared. And that's the preaching from last week. It's about stewardship. Because God's going to give you a lot, but it's how you handle it. It's how you handle God's money. It's not yours, it's the Lord. And that's happening is a lot of us are not actually preparing for the future. And that's going to be the case. Now, just a show of hands, huh? Who among you are supporting your parents financially today? He might not be due today, but you know in the future, you will have to support your parents. Can you raise your hands? Dami. Madali ba? Madali? O challenging? Eh, napansin nyo, parents, as they get older, no? They become better in what you call emotional manipulation. Ano? So again, so what's happening, di ba? So ganyan, it's a challenge, no? So mga nagtaas na kamay, congratulations. Mahirap yung ginagawa nyo. It's not an easy thing to do, correct? Yung mga hindi nagtaas na kamay, ito yung mga walang kwentang anak, ano? So again, joke lang kayo naman, no? Okay, so here's the thing. A lot of people will be in that scenario, in that situation, they don't actually prepare. Now, people are not saving, not investing. People can say, eh, kasi tingin, paano ka naman mag-i-invest? Randall, tingnan mo naman yung gusto mong pag-investan namin. Stock market, di ba? Kita mo naman yung stock market. Para naman kami magaganahan yan. So, you know, that's the people. And that's not the reason why only 1% invest in the market and why only 8% prepare for the future. The reason why they do this is not because of the volatility of the market. It's not so much because they do not understand. One of the reasons why Filipinos do not prepare for the future because of things like this. Huh? Kasi they like stuff eh. You know, they want to be able to have these things, they want to be able to spend and all these things, and that's what's happening. Pretty soon, Dumaguete is growing. Malapit na yan, baka next year may Starbucks na kayo. O diba, marami excited na, you know. When Starbucks comes here, your financial future is doomed. Because people will now begin to spend more and more and more to buy that. You know, in Manila, I know you've seen it now, in Manila and in the more urban places, Starbucks every year come up with a planner. And you know, a lot of the students and employees and staff and everybody will now begin to spend more money to buy that planner. Kasi you have to consume it through coffee. So they will now consume 4 to 5 times their budget to have a planner. A planner that they will never use for the whole year. Kaya maraming tao, puro planner, pero wala mga plano. No? So again, that becomes a problem. So that's gonna happen, and that's what's happening right now. Now, last week, you talked about stewardship. You talked about the parable of the 10 minas, or the 10 talents. The Lord reminded you to be faithful. Now, with the little things that's given to you, because when you are faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the giving things. When you're ready to handle the little things, you'll be ready to handle the bigger things. How you handle a 10,000 salary will be the way you handle a 100,000 salary. I mean, that's the principle of the talent. And ultimately, even if investments like the stock market are volatile, ultimately, it will be rewarding. Okay? It may not look good today, but in the long run, as long as you're faithful, as long as you're patient, it will be rewarding. And this is how the stock market looks like in a 10-year period. It will go up and down, but you see, generally, this is how it looks like. So it's really gonna grow. And that's the reward for being a good steward. Okay? And continuously, just a little bit of an update, the Philippine economy is doing well. So we'll just continue to be a good steward, and everything else will be taken care of for you. Okay? You will build your wealth, you know, you will prepare for the future, and that's the dream, that's the goal, to be able to do that. And you see, the Philippine market, the Philippine economy is really growing very fast. In fact, it outperformed for the last 2 to 3 quarters, we've been outperforming China in growth rate. And that's amazing, no? Because you know this, God made the world, everything else is made in China. You see that, no? But look, we're growing. And so we're growing, and that's a good sign for us to see. Now, my preaching, I'm going to take off from that perspective and you move forward. My preaching is not about this, but I just want to remind you, just to continue from the parable of the talents, that you have to be a good steward. You know, here's the thing. Stewardship is not limited to the 10% that you give for tithe. Stewardship goes beyond the 10%. Stewardship also looks at the 90%. It's not the amount that you give to the Lord, it's also the amount that stays with you. So if you're going to be a good steward, you want to be able to handle that and prepare for these things, right? But I'm going to take off from their perspective. Okay, we're talking about, you know, for those people who have been a good steward, at least in the financial services, on how to handle money, they will begin to build wealth. And that's what I'm going to take off. Now, we are in a preaching series on parables. It's a truth to be told. And I love the parables. I love the way Jesus Christ has used the parables to teach us. You see, the Word of God, the Bible, is a book of devotions. You know, when you read the Bible, you feel closer to the Lord. You feel more devoted. Kaya devotional yan eh. But the Bible is not just a book of devotions. The Bible is also a book of instructions. A book of instructions towards righteous living. And the Bible, you will see, is very up to date. Ibig sabihin nun, it was relevant then, it's relevant today, and it will be relevant for the future. Because the Bible is not only timely, the Bible is timeless. And that's something that you understand. And I want to take it off from that perspective. Our preaching for this afternoon, the parable that we're tackling here, is the parable of the rich fool. And it's a great way to segue from last week to handle money, to be a good steward, to today, those who have actually money and what to do with the wealth that they have. So we're going to discuss the parable of the rich fool. The parable of the rich fool is taken from the book of Luke. Now, let me read. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Now, just for that context, now for the Jewish context, now from that, at least a historical context, I want to let you know that, you know, when this was written, okay, again, from a Jewish context and perspective, a teacher is somebody that you hold with high regard. As in, I really look up to that, a rabbi, a teacher. It's really highly respected, and in a way, you really turn to them. And just as the culture today, we always turn to mentors. And it's great to have a mentor. No, but again, as somebody to teach you, you also have to understand the context and the heart behind it. Culturally, our people are always looking to teachers to dictate their actions. Okay, that's why they went to there. Now, I love what Jesus did. Instead of answering or solving it for them, Jesus tells a parable to get at their hearts. to understand. Now, Jesus was ministering to them. And some of you are Victory Group leaders, some of you will be leaders, and you will get to minister. Even if you're not a leader, you get to minister to a lot of people. I just want to remind you that as you minister to people, okay, you minister always to the heart. At the end of the day, it's always going to be a heart issue. Jesus wanted them to see a change in perspective, a change in their view of wealth. And that's what the parable is all about. Now, let me continue. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought of himself, what shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops. So this is a story of a rich man, businessman of some sort, who was actually doing the right things in business. I speak on business, I talk to people, and really, you really have to be a good steward, you really have to handle well. Just for context, no? A lot of people, when they read the word of the Lord, it's always taken out of context. So you want to take it from the context. You have to understand, kasi ang dami, no? The word of God is always subject to a lot of misinterpretation. That's why my tip to you is whenever you read the Bible, you pray for discernment. You allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, to speak to your mind and to your heart. Okay? That's very important so that you see what the Lord is trying to tell you. And just to give you, do not expect preachers like me, Pastor Archie, and everybody else to teach you these things. You have to learn it yourselves. Okay? So again, the businessman, it's an issue of, sabi mo, Randall, you have to be a good steward. Sabi mo, Randall, you have to, you know, work hard in everything. Okay? And I teach people. You know, a lot of people, they don't like to work hard, and that's very foolish. You have to work hard. A lot of people are complaining, work-life balance. Diba? Puro life, walang work. Eh, di balance yun. Okay? Absent pag Monday, absent pag Tuesday, papasok na Wednesday, late pag Thursday, absent na ng Friday. Tapos mag-expect ng promotion. Ay, mga ganun. Okay? So, we're really full of that. And we want to be able to change those contexts. Now, this businessman was responsible. He was hardworking, and he was successful. Okay? These things is something the world celebrates. Okay? Number one, that is not the issue of this parable. You might misinterpret, oh, so wag na lang. Nakahanap ka ngayon ng scripture para i-justify na wag na tayo kumilos. Diba? I mean, again, you will take it out of context. That's why it's timing that we discuss this after we discuss the parable of the talents. Okay, so we discuss this. Now, this is not the issue of working hard. It is the heart that needs some working. In fact, we have to work hard. Okay? The Bible teaches us to work hard. The Bible teaches you in Proverbs 6:6, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. Diba? Kopyahin mo dahil langgam. Bakit? One of the strong characteristics of an ant is that masipag sila. Nakita na ba kayo langgam na tamad? May nakita na ba kayo langgam na nagchichilaks-chilaks lang? Wala, di ba? So again, you want to be able to pattern that. And the Bible tells you to do that. In fact, Bible tells you, if you do not work, you do not eat. Okay, so here, we want to get out of that context. So it's not wrong for you to work hard. It's not wrong for you to be successful. It's not the issue. In fact, the parable was not about work ethics. Right? The parable of the rich fool is not about work ethics. In fact, if there's something that you will learn from that, you want to be able to be inspired about the work ethics of that person. Kaya nga siya may surplus eh. Diba? Now, it's not the issue. It's now beginning to be a heart issue. What was exposed in the parable was the heart of the rich fool. And that's what we want to be able to understand as we try to dig deeper in the Word of God. Now, and he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. Now, from economic perspective, from a business perspective, this is good. It means increasing capacity. It means business expansion. It means that I will grow more. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you have a business and you want to expand it, it means that you have to hire more people that will generate more income, pay more taxes, you know, provide livelihood. It's actually not a bad thing. And again, don't take me out of context here. It was not that issue. It was not the expansion that was an issue, but the issue of the heart. Okay? In fact, this is where it takes you from that perspective. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Again, not to be taken out of context. it's not wrong to prepare for the future. It's not wrong to prepare for retirement. In fact, we espouse you to do so. Okay? But the issue here is the issue of the heart. The issue here is where he is finding his happiness, his contentment, his heart for these things. And that's what makes him a fool. Okay? He was not a fool because he was working hard. He was a fool because he was thinking of something else. He was thinking that money is the answer. In fact, let me read, no? This great theologian named Tim Keller said, a fool in the Bible is somebody who's not thinking, somebody who's not thinking out, somebody who's out of touch with reality. But there's also a spiritual aspect, because in the Bible, foolishness is not the absence of mental equipment. Clearly, this person was not dumb. This person was smart. So he was not a fool for being working hard. It's not. Foolishness is not the absence of mental equipment. It's the presence of an outlook that hates God's definition of reality. Galing, ano? Foolishness in the Bible is the absence on accepting God's definition of reality. What God really wants from us. Okay? And the problem with this fool in this parable is this. When he said this scripture, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Made ka na. Again, the problem here was the heart. Money was saying to the rich fool, if you lose me, you lose a very large part of your life. If you lose me, you lose what life can be for you. I am your life. Do you realize how big I am? Life will be real life, true life, if you have me. The story here is that money, the wealth, was already owning him. He did not understand what the money is really for. Wealth, like anything in life, has a purpose. When you do not understand the true purpose of wealth, then you are a fool. Because you will miss out what the Lord wants you to see. And you will find your satisfaction, you will find your happiness and your joy from the wealth that you think will provide and give you life. They will not. The problem with material things, the problem with money, without the proper context, without understanding, without Jesus Christ, money becomes a hard taskmaster. And money will now make you feel insatiability, insatiable. Insatiable means you are not satisfied. Diba? Pa-upgrade ka na upgrade, pamahal na pamahal, hindi ka happy. And you will realize, and that's a problem. And I always tell a lot of people, money is important. Diba? And the reason why we taught you last week about stewardship, because money is important. Pero may purpose yan. You know, you cannot give what you do not have, correct? That's why you need to understand and handle money. But you have to be a good steward and have the proper understanding that money serves a purpose. It is not the end goal. In fact, I tell people, ang pera, huwag nyo masyadong mahalin yan. Kasi ang pera, hindi nadadala sa langit. Correct? Pag nadala mo pera mo sa langit, sigurado ko hindi ka sa langit napunta. May iba ka napuntahan. So again, that's the problem. But here's where the Lord's word was really strong and resounding. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you in the things you have prepared, whose they will be. Tonight, your life ends. What do you do with everything? Okay? Yung pera mo, ano mo ngayon yan? Paano yan? That's a foolishness of this thing. Is that he put everything, all who he is, in the wealth that he has. And he felt that that's his security. Yung worth niya, kinuha niya sa net worth niya. That's a problem. Now, just let me be clear with you. Prosperity in itself, money in itself, is not evil. In fact, money is amoral. It has no morality. It's what you do with it that will determine its morality. But wanting prosperity with the wrong heart is dangerous. In fact, wanting prosperity so much will actually kill you. Number one, it will kill you spiritually. You will replace money with who the Lord is in your life. And a lot of people, ang idolatry nila, directly or indirectly, pera, mammon. Okay? And that's the problem. I was into that situation not too long ago before I left the Lord. You know, guys, I'm a latecomer to the Lord. I met the Lord when I was already 40. If you're wondering, I'm 49. It's not true that makaedad kami ni Pastor Archie. Chismis lang yun, no? And I'm saying that because he's already here. Now, I had to do the right timing. And as you enter, I remind them that we are not of the same age. Okay, so clear lang tayo doon. No, in a few months, I'll be 50. And really, no, there's nothing wrong with my work ethics. In fact, I mentor a lot of young men and I teach them to have the right work ethics. Okay? It's not that. My folly was thinking that my promotions, my money, whatever, the glory that I get from that is enough for me. I realized that the Lord was trying to discipline me, to teach me, to make them understand. So number one, prosperity will kill you spiritually because it will replace who God is in your life. And you will realize that money in itself cannot give you life. Secondly, money can also physically kill you by stress, by exhaustion, by doing so much of these things, it can actually physically kill you. May story nga kanina, kinuwento ko. In his dying bed, mamamatay na siya. Okay? Family was gathered. And he was a little bit delusional because he's about to die. Sabi niya, Maria ang aking asawa, nasaan ka? Sabi niya, sweetheart, andito ako sa tabi mo. Kompleto kami, hindi ka naman iiwan. Sabi niya, Jose, ang panganay kong anak, nasaan ka? Tay, andito ako. Nastapat ako ni nanay. Kompleto kami, hindi ka naman iiwan. Okay. Sabi niya, Mercy, ang kaisa-isa kong anak na babae, nasaan ka? Tay, andito kami sa paanan mo. Kompleto kami, hindi ka namin iiwan. Junior, ang bunso ko, nasaan ka na? Tay, katabi ko si ate. Kompleto kami, hindi ka namin iiwan. Kompleto ba kayo? Oo po, kompleto kami. Biglang tumayo yung tatay. Eh, sino nagpapantay ng tindahan natin? Kompleto pala kayo. See? Hindi naman ganun ang buhay eh, di ba? Sino ba rito yung mamamatay ka na? I wish I had more millions. Sino ba rito yung mamamatay na? Sana nabili ko yung property, no? Sayang, ganda ng value. Okay? Mamamatay ka na, inisip pa kung ano mangyari sa stock market eh. I mean, mayroon bang ganun? May kilala kong ganun. Pero again, kawawa naman ang buhay nila, di ba? Di ba mamamatay na lang? Ano ba exchange rate ngayon, ha? Saan nakita na mamamatay na yun na iniisip? Diba? And life is not like about that. You have to understand that things are important. That's why we teach people, yes, manage your money well, but also invest. Invest in relationship. Spend time with your kids. You know, I'm to that age wherein I'm a little bit older, no? So, you know, two of my kids are actually working already. Eh. And, you know, one thing I realized in much that I want to have time with them, sila na yung walang time for me. Minsan nga nakatampo ko, alam mo yung anak ko nakakatawa sila, pag nagdadrama yung, alam mo yung mga ibang daddy, iba-ibang bata, nagre-reklamo sila na wala silang time, ang parents sila sa kanila. Kami nagre-reklamo kami, wala kayong time sa amin. So really, I spend time with them, and now that they're growing, you know, fond memories na kami. Kaya ready na ako, na pagdating ng panahon, they will leave us, okay na, because I've spent enough time with them. You know, well, I think, I mean, of course, it cannot be perfect, pero wala na ako dong, I should have spent more time with my kids. In fact, excited na nga ako na umalis na sila ng bahay. Alam mo yun? Mga anak, wala ba kayo plano mag-asawa? Alam mo, okay na kami na mami nyo, no? Okay, I'm looking forward to the time that they're actually gonna be on their own because I have spent enough time with them. Okay? I was there from their birth. I spent enough time. There were many times I made the right decision. Instead of saving more money, I spent it on them. I'm happy. I'm not saying naubusin nyo lahat ng pera nyo. Pardon. No. I'm okay with that. Because I realized that was important. And there are many money other things that you can do with money that is just as important. Now, 1 Timothy 6:9. Okay? Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. Okay? Fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. 1 Timothy 6:9. With the wrong perspective of money, work, and wealth, it can ruin you. It can change your perspective. Okay? You know, one of the sad state of a lot of rich people is they are never contented. There is not wrong for you to build your wealth. But you should also have a godly contentment. Contentment is one of the strongest financial principles that you need to understand. It does not mean that I will not work anymore. It does not mean that I will not save and invest more. No. But I am already content with what I have. Why? Because my heart is not based on my bank account. My heart is based on what is more important, my family, my church, my ministry, and most importantly, my relationship with Jesus Christ. And you have to understand, and that's where I get my contentment. Now, just to remind you of the context, okay? Ay, Randall, ganyan pala eh. Hindi na kami kikilos. Diba? Maghihintay na lang kami ng grasya. Okay, unang-una, hindi ka anak ng mayaman. Hindi lahat. Hindi ka eredero. Ibang tao kasi kung kumilos, feeling nila, kahit nga mayaman ka, pwede maubos ang pera eh. Diba? Example, if you don't know stewardship, money can just be gone. Like, ngayon, magkakaroon na ng 13th month pay. Bonus. Pag hindi ka marunong mawak, ano mangyayari sa'yo? I was talking to a group of people. Bonus came in. After 3 days, I asked them, oh, mga kapatid, kamusta na ang bonus nyo? Ay, sir, isa na siyang alaala. Ganun lang eh. Okay, so ganun talaga eh. So again, it becomes a problem. So you have to understand. So again, just for context, it is not wrong if you work hard. In fact, we want you to work hard. Okay? It is not wrong if you work hard. It is not wrong if your business flourishes. It is not wrong when you get a promotion. And it is not wrong if your investments do well. That's not the issue. Okay? He is not called a fool for being productive. He is called a fool by thinking his money will give him life. The foolishness of the parable is not based on his work ethics. The foolishness in the parable was depiction of a true state of his heart. And that's what you have to understand. Okay? And that's a problem. That's why Luke 12 continues. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. If you think that the wealth that you have, the money that you have is for you, then you are surely mistaken. Number one, God owns everything. That's not yours. Okay? So don't think that it's yours. It's temporal. Life is temporal. Our life here on earth is temporal. Because you have to understand, and one of the reasons why I love being a Christian, because I understand that there's eternity. Okay? Temporal. Temporal to eternity. Now, question. If you know that life today is temporal and there's eternity, where will you invest? In temporal things or eternity? Eternity. Eh, but where do you put your money? Diba? Yun yung problema natin. Kung naiintindihan mo yung context, you will realize we're so short-sighted that we only look at the short term. We only look at our lives here today. 100 years, assuming you reach 100 years, is just a speck of a dust as to what eternity is all about. Perspective ng time yan. I am already in my middle age. I hate to say it, but that's the truth. I don't think I will last 30, 40 more years. Okay na ako. Okay? I don't like to live very long kasi magastos ang retirement. I'm happy. Okay? I know. That's why I work today as if there's no tomorrow in the sense that I... That's the reason why I'm reactive into the ministry. Okay? And that's what I encourage you. Do not wait for people to call you into the ministry. Because each and every one of you is called for ministry. You are all evangelists. Okay? So we do that. Okay? Huwag na kayo mag-entay, we do this. Because our life here is short. That's why we do these things. Because we think about eternity. Okay? That's important. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What's wrong with this man's way of handling his riches is that he fails to use them in a way that shows he treasures God more than riches. In other words, it was a greed issue. If you look at the photo, no, the real photo, the real dollar will put in God we trust. Pero sa atin na nakalagay, in greed we trust. And a lot of people think that's the way things. He is a fool because he failed to use what he has in a way that shows he treasures God more than riches. Yun yung folly. Yun yung problema. Okay? Yun yung problema. Pero what should you do with money? What should you do with wealth? Wealth has a purpose. 1 Timothy 6:18-19 says,
They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Right? Very strong scripture to remind you, to put it into the right perspective of what to do with your riches. It is not just for yourself. It has an eternal perspective. When you see this thing, it has an eternal impact on what you can do with money. And it's not what happens to the Lord's kingdom, it's what happens to you because you have an obedient heart. Okay? You know, at the end of the day, money is good. It's important. But it is not the source of life. Jesus is. Money is good, but it is not the source of life. It's only Jesus that can give you truly life. Your true worth is based on your relationship with who Jesus Christ is in your life. And if you do not have that perspective, you may be the richest person in the world, but without Christ, you are nothing. That's something that you have to understand. Money can never give life. Money is only a tool. Money can never give life. Whenever you see that you think that you will find your joy and your contentment with money, then you are a fool. You will not understand kung bakit. And then you will find yourself empty and empty and empty. That's why many Christians are Christians during Sunday, but they're not Christians between Monday and Saturday. Why? Iba yung perspective nila eh. Kaya kung negosyante ka, hindi pwedeng nagtatight ka nga, pero mali naman yung perspective mo mula Monday hanggang Saturday. Gets nyo? So you have to understand these things. And I just want to remind people. Diba? I just want to remind people. Again, I'm not saying this to offend the rich people. Your self-worth is not determined by your net worth. Alright? Your self-worth is not determined by your net worth. Even if you have billions of money and you don't have love and Christ in your heart, that billions is just money in the bank or money elsewhere. Even if you only have 10,000 pesos, but you have the Lord and you love people and you love the Lord like it's the most important thing in your life, then you are rich. Your net worth is only an indication of your work ethics. It is not an indication of your true self. Okay? That's important. Now, on the other hand, do not expect to be rich if you don't do anything in life. Okay? At tawag sa'yo, fool din ka doon. You're another kind of fool. Not a rich fool, something else. But still a fool. Okay? Now, it's not what I possess, but who possesses me that forms the core of my being. Okay? It's not what I possess, but who possesses me that forms the core of my being. Does the Lord possess you? If the Lord possess you, and you submit your entire life to Him, that's the core of your being. Then what does that money make? I don't know if silver or money. Here's the thing. Money is a great tool, but it is not the end goal. Money is something that you can use. Okay? For what? For God's glory. Not for your glory, not to enrich you, because life is only temporal. And a lot of people think, no, I'm going to do it for the next family. No, don't worry about your kids. In fact, they say that wealth is created by the first generation, it is wasted by the second generation, and it is finished by the third generation. So hindi mo, don't think eternal. It's not going to happen. What is eternal is what you do with it. It's a great tool, but it's not the end goal. Because at the end of the day, only Jesus can give you life. Only Jesus can give you life. Okay? Yung focus ng buhay nyo, ng trabaho nyo, ng ginagawa nyo, ng kayamanan nyo, should be who Jesus is in your life. Because only Jesus can give you life. So, what's a practical application learning all of these things? When, and number one, and I'm taking off from last week's preaching, you really have to be a good steward. You really have to work. You have to be good at what you're doing. You have to be excellent. And I tell a lot of people that I disciple and mentor, you can't be excellent at church and not be excellent at work. Okay? Maraming ganon. So I teach them. You know, I really call them. And I really, it's good that I'm old. I can really speak to them. And they listen to me. Okay? So that's important. That's been a ministry of mine. But you also have to understand what to do with it. So here's the practical application as well. knowing what money is and what the Lord is in your life, that's why the Lord teaches you not to be worried. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. The seeking of wealth, the building of wealth, worries some people. May kausap ako, worried na worried siya. Bagong kasal sila, mauubos na pera nila. Hindi nila alam gagawin. 3 million na lang daw yung pera nila. Sabi ko, nahiya naman ako sa iyo, no? Bagong kasal, 3 million lang, naiiyak na sila. Kawawa na sila. Awang-awa naman ako sa inyo. Grabe naman. You know, perspective lang yan eh. Diba? Now, this couple is now in church. You know, they have a different perspective. But you know, at the time I was counseling them, grabe, 3 million, bagong kasal. Nasistress na. Diba? Kakaya naman. Okay. So, we shouldn't worry. And what does the Bible say about worrying? Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about what you will eat or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and body is more than clothes. And you have to understand that the Lord is always there to provide for your needs. Okay? You have to understand. Except that we have a different definition of what our needs are. Right? We have a very superficial perspective of what our needs are. Now, to continue, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor bank, and yet God feeds them. Or, of how much more value are you than the ravens? Now, ito na naman ako sa context, no? From a biblical perspective, a raven is a despised bird. It's not one of those things that people want. Why? A raven is actually, people call it, it's a rat with wings. So, totoo lang, nobody goes bird watching for ravens. Okay? And it's most commonly associated for death. But God used the raven to remind us that if I can take care of the raven, how much more so that I can take care of you. I can take care of you because I love you. I love you so much that I actually gave my one and only son for you. And people will always forget that. And it's sad to see that from a Christian perspective, bakit ganun? Is it the life of Christ good enough for you? If you think that is, wow. Wow naman. Kaya ka fool. Okay? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Diba? Sino rito, kaka-worry, nasolve ang problema? Ay, mag-worry ako. Pag nag-worry ako, may solusyon na. Meron bang ganon? Wala, diba? So, pag nag-worry ka, ano nangyari sa'yo? Stress ka. Nakita mo yung mga bata, yung maliliit, hindi nag-worry? Nakita ka na ba sanggol na stress? Meron ba batang-bata palang stress na? Hindi, diba? Why? They understand that somebody is going to provide for them. Doesn't worry about food because they have parents to take care of them. That's why the Lord reminds us, be like a child. And go to me and look up to me as your father. Know also what is truly valuable. Know what is truly valuable. Money is important, clothing is important, your work is important. But it is not as important as who the Lord is in your life. That's why the Lord tells you not to worry. Don't get so caught up with what the world tells you. You should have this, you should have that. Even if I tell you, you should have more money. Yeah. That's true. Pero from what perspective? From an eternal perspective. Okay? Do not worry. Do not worry what the world always tells you to do. That food is more important than life. That clothes are more important than your body. That's wrong. Your identity is not based on the food that you eat or the clothes that you wear or the car that you drive or the property that you have or the watch that you have. Okay? It's not. Your true worth is based on what the Lord has given you. And He has given you Himself. And that's something that you understand. Now, how should you apply it? Simply lang. Focus on what is more important in life. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And it's really a powerful scripture for you to be able to understand what is really important in life. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Right? That's important. Important you to understand that the movement of your money signifies the movement of your heart. Money is always a heart issue. Now, here's an acid test of how you value money and what money is all about. And this is where the Christian perspective comes in. That's why the Lord expects you to move in generosity. Okay? And this is the moving in generosity. Luke 12. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with the treasure in heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. You know, guys, I always tell people, you have to move into generosity. Generosity is a trademark of a man who is not a slave to his wealth. When you are not generous, you are actually a slave. You are a slave to the wealth. Dalawa lang yan eh. You can either be a slave to what the world offers you, or be a slave of the Lord. I'd rather be a slave of the Lord. Because in Him, I find my peace and my joy. Okay? I find my completion. In all these things, I have shown you, diba, that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. But remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Diba? It is more blessed to give than to receive. And guys, when you understand the true perspective of what money is, the richness is, then you will realize what life is all about. Because your relationship with Jesus has already determined your true worth. Amen?